ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। ओम सहनाववतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। ज्ञान विज्ञान योगो नाम सप्तमोऽध्यायः। श्री भगवानुवाच मय्यासक्तमनाः पार्थ योगं युञ्जन्मदाश्रयः असंशयं समग्रं माम् यथा ज्ञास्यसि तच्छृणु। ज्ञानं तेहं सविज्ञानं वक्ष्याम्यशेषतः यज्ञात्वा निक्मूयोऽन्यत् ज्ञातव्यमवशिष्यते। मनुष्याणां सहस्रेषु कश्चिद्यतति सिद्धये यततामपि सिद्धानां कश्चिन्मां वेत्ति तत्त्वतः। भूमिरापो नलो वायुः खं मनो बुद्धिरेव च अहङ्कार इति यं मे भिन्ना प्रकृतिरष्टधा। अपरेयमिटस्त्वन्याम् प्रकृतिं विद्धि मे पराम् जीवभूता महाबाहो ययेदं धार्यते जगत्। अनीनि भूतानि सर्वाणीत्युपधारय अहं कृत्स्नस्य जगतः प्रभवः प्रलयस्तथा। मत्तः परतरं नान्यत् किञ्चिदस्ति धनञ्जय मयि सर्वमिदं प्रोतं सूत्रे मणिगणा इव। रसोऽहमप्सु कौन्तेय प्रभास्मि शशिसूर्ययोः प्रणवः सर्ववेदेषु शब्दः खे पौरुषं नृषु। पुण्यो गन्धः पृथिव्याञ्च तेजश्चास्मि विभावसौ। जीवनं सर्वभूतेषु तपश्चास्मि तपस्विषु। बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां विद्धि पार्थ सनातनम्। बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम्। बलं बलवताञ्चाहम् कामरागविवर्जितम्। धर्माविरुद्धो भूतेषु कामोऽस्मि भरतर्षभ। ये चैव सात्विका भावाः राजसास्तामसाश्च ये मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि न त्वहं तेषु ते मयि। सो वि सॉ अंटिल 12th वर्स्। द वेरी फर्स्ट वर्स् ओपनिंग वर्स् भगवान् इंट्रोड्यूसेस् सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑफ दिस चैप्टर। In fact, which is going to be the subject of this whole Madhyama Bhagaha, the middle part. Ishwaraha Bhagavan is the subject matter of this 6 chapters from the 7th to the 12th. So what is Bhagavan? Who is Bhagavan? Otherwise, we use another term, Ishvaraha. The word Ishvaraha, if it has been translated correctly into English, we can say the Lord. The one who rules. Ishaha, Ishita, Ishvaraha are different words. I said Ishvaraha is a qualification, title, attributed to the absolute reality, the ultimate truth. From the standpoint of the cosmos, the universe. I said, when this reality is looked upon, understood to be the intelligent and material causes of the universe, then Ishvara title is attributed to the reality. So Bhagavan says, you will understand me completely, totally, if you are totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth in terms of Bhagavan. If you take Bhagavan as the only source of happiness and security, surrender to Bhagavan, and you are given to the yoga, and you understand Bhagavan entirely. So, mai asakta manaha mat ashrayaha yogam yunjan mam yatha aseshataha jnasisi tachrunu. He also says, I will tell you jnanam along with vijnanam. Now I said very clearly, jnanam also means knowledge, vijnanam also means knowledge. But here, jnanam here implies the knowledge of Bhagavan's rupam. And vijnanam is knowledge of Bhagavan's swarupam. So knowledge of saguna rupam of Bhagavan is jnanam. And knowledge of nirguna rupam of Bhagavan is called vijnanam. And here Bhagavan says there are two aspects of Bhagavan. Para prakritihi, apara prakritihi are the words used in the 7th chapter. These twofold prakritis together constitute Ishvaraha. So what is para prakritihi and apara prakritihi together form Ishvara? And here, how Bhagavan, all that is here is only Bhagavan. Nothing other than Bhagavan here. Just to explain to you, all the beings here, the living, non-living, mobile, immobile, everything here, the actions, the results, the laws, and experience of pains and pleasures, pairs of opposites, everything together which constitute the whole, everything here have these two prakritis as their causes. Para prakritihi and apara prakritihi, these two are the causes here for everything here. The two together constitute Ishvara means everything here is Ishvara. So as cause, as para prakritihi and apara prakritihi, as the two causes of the universe, Ishvara pervades everything. Therefore, Ishvara is in the form of the universe. The whole universe is Ishvara. Ishvara is not anything here, but everything here is Ishvara. So Bhagavan also continues to say that how Bhagavan is the essence of everything here. The Balavatam Balamasmi. We saw all the verses there, how I am the essence of everything, the truth of everything, without which there cannot be anything. So, this Bhagavan's Swarupam, or Bhagavan's, how Bhagavan is, what Bhagavan is, the subject matter of Bhagavan is discussed from verse number 4th to the 12th. The 12th verse, we stopped yesterday. It will be between the 12th verse and conclude it. Ye chaiva sattvika bhavah, ye chaiva sattvika bhavah, rajasastamasaschaye, mattaye vetitan viddhi, evetitan viddhi, natvaham teshu temahi. See, the entire objective universe, so five elements and the buddhihi mahattattvam, manaha, the ahankaraha, these eight can be, the whole jagat can be reduced to these eight, and this except in knower, everything else is the objective universe. And which is apara prakritihi. Apara prakritihi of Bhagavan, the inferior nature, the lower nature of Bhagavan alone is in the form of the entire, the matter, the material manifestation, the entire universe. And what is paraprakritihi? Paraprakritihi is the abstract reality which is of the nature of knowledge, which alone is there as the knower jiva in every being. For the knower, the subject of the knowledge, which is the pure reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, which is implied by the term Atma or Brahma, is here para prakritihi. So, the entire objective universe is what? Apara prakritihi. These two, therefore, para and apara prakritihi together alone here, shining in the form of the whole cosmos. And he has to conclude that he says, Sattvikaha bhavaha, Rajasaha bhavaha, Tamasaha bhavaha. I said, generally the word bhavaha means being. So you can say the entire objective universe, whatever is here, all the beings are endowed with these threefold gunas. There's no being which is not of three gunas. But the guna, a given guna may be predominant in everything. Therefore, all the beings, so sattvikaha bhavaha means the beings which are predominantly sattvic. Rajasaha bhavaha, the beings which are of three gunas, but which are predominantly rajasic. Also, beings which are also of three gunas, but which are predominantly tamasic. All these beings have originated from me alone. Mattaha eva iti tan viddi. Is one meaning. Another meaning is, you can just separately take, the bhavaha also means antahkarna vrittihi, thoughts. The thoughts rise varieties of thoughts rise in the mind, the thoughts constitute the mind. So sattvikaha bhavaha, when you say, the antakarana vrittayaha, the thoughts pertaining to the knowledge, understanding, clarity, cheerfulness, enthusiasm, those thoughts, sattvikaha bhavaha. So it says sukham, even pleasure, sattvikaha bhavaha. Then rajasaha bhavaha, the emotions, anger, fear, hatred, jealousy, even sorrow, pain, these vrittis are all what? They are also emotions obtaining in the form of thoughts are rajasaha bhavaha. Then we have tamasaha bhavaha, dullness, ignorance, delusion, confusion. They're all also antakkana vritteha, they're all tamasaha bhavaha. So all these varieties of any subtle phenomenon, imperceptible, not only the externally available objects which are available for perception, they're also, survey up here, everything here is of sattvikaha, rajasaha, tamasaha, bhavaha only. Everything has a constituents of this sattva, rajasa, tamasa. There's nothing which does not have three gunas here. All the external objects here have three gunas. But some are predominantly sattvi, predominantly rajasic, predominantly tamasic. Similarly, we also have antakkana vrittayaha, which are imperceptible, subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts. Imperceptible, subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts, emotions, etc. We say, there also difference is there. Sattvikaha bhavaha. Anything pertaining to knowledge, understanding, etc. Also thoughts. Sattvikaha bhavaha. Similarly, the antakarna vrittayaha, we have some predominantly rajasic. And there are some predominantly tamasic. So, suppose anger, pain, jealousy, hatred. There are rajasaha bhavaha. And tamasaha bhavaha. Confusion, delusion, dullness. They're all tamasaha bhavaha. So what we say, all these varieties of thought modifications, subtle phenomena, obtaining of thoughts, all of them also, what? Where do they originate from? They all originate from me alone. Mattaha eva iti tan vidhi. So Bhagavan, obtaining as the knower, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which is essentially of the nature of knowledge, which we arrive at as the truth of I, alone is there as the knower, only knower in all the minds, only knower of all the thoughts. For all these thoughts, they do not have existence independently outside of the knower consciousness. Therefore, the knower consciousness, the I, the knower, the consciousness definitely is free from what? Jealousy, hatred, anger, knowledge, confusion, delusion, etc. So the reality, the Atma, the consciousness is not any of these thoughts, but definitely all these subtle phenomena, obtaining of thoughts, are all nothing but Ishwaraha. Bhagavan does not have anger, jealousy, hatred, anger. Bhagavan is not anger, hatred or jealousy. But definitely all these emotions are Bhagavan. That is why in Devi Mahatmyam, Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Vritti Rupena Samsthita Namastasse Namo Namaha. Salutations unto the Devi, who alone is in the form of thoughts, who is in the form of peace, who is in the form of buddhi, who is in the form of, meditation unto her, we say that. It means Bhagavan is not anything, but everything is Bhagavan here. The word it made very clear. Sattvikaha bhavaha, rajasaha bhavaha, tamasaha bhavaha, ye bhavaha, tan sarvan mattaha eva itti vitti viddi. Understand? They're all from me alone. And one more thing Bhagavan says, aham te mayi. Where do they exist? Where do the waves exist? Waves do not exist outside of the truth, the water. Waves are forms which enjoy their existence. We understand waves are given forms which enjoy their existence in the very water, which means the wave form is inseparable from the water. Similarly here, all the subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts, in terms of knowledge, understanding, perception, jealousy, hatred, anger, pleasure, pain, fear, anxiety, all these thoughts, thought modifications, where do they exist? They do not have existence independently outside of this reality in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is Ishvara. Therefore Krishna says here, mattaha eva iti tan viddi te mayi santi. Te means all those bhavaha, te bhavaha mayi santi. All these thoughts, all these subtle phenomena, imperceptible subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts, enjoy their existence in me. Just as I'm giving example, just as waves exist, enjoy their existence in the water, so also all the subtle phenomena enjoy their existence only in the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Te mayi, but aham teshu na, but I am not in them. What does it mean? I am not in them. I am not in them means te mayi santi. I am not in them means they cannot exist independently without the reality, but reality can be without having the thoughts there. So even when the thoughts are not there, reality is Ishvara's para prakritihi, the consciousness is there as it is, with the thoughts also. But thoughts cannot have existence independently without the reality. So, te, teshu, na aham, te mayi santi. They are in me. So, water can be without being the waves, without having the waves around. But waves cannot be without the water. That's what is meant here. He's saying, I am not in them, but they are in me. He's gone to the subtlest aspects now. Not, which means, externally, nothing in the world enjoys existence outside of the reality. And also, the subtle thoughts also not outside of Ishvara. He tried to take the meaning both ways. Nothing. Subtle or grass, imperceptible, perceptible. Everything here, anything which is part of the object, which is within the realm of the objective universe, which is within the realm of the objective universe, definitely is of these three gunas. Okay? Is going to be explained later on well. So with this, Ishvara Rupam, Ishvara Swarupam, the concept of Bhagavan, understanding of the concept of Bhagavan is over with this 12th verse. त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैरेभिस्सर्वमिदं जगत् त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैरेभिस्सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्यः परमोऽयम् त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः येभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः येभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्यः परमोऽयम् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्यः परमोऽयम् ओके ही सेज इदं जगत् idam third person singular pronoun which means this and this pronoun this indicates this entire objective universe idam jagat and idam jagat sarvam jagat idam sarvam jagat this entire universe now mohitam this entire universe has been deluded So, entire universe has been deluded means what? People in this world are deluded. Deluded by what? He says, Ebihi, Tribihi, Gunamayaihi, Bhaveihi. They've been deluded by this threefold Bhavaha. These threefold things. Tribihi, Gunamayaihi, Bhaveihi. By all these beings, all these things which are constituted of these threefold gunas by these idam entire jagat entire universe has been deluded therefore what happens when they deluded mam param avyayam ebhyaha param mam na abhijanati because they deluded they do not The world does not know me, the absolute. Mam param avyayam na abhijanati. The world does not know me, the changeless absolute truth. This is literal meaning of the verse. Okay. Mam param avyayam na abhijanati. The world does not know me, the absolute, the ultimate, the changeless reality. Or the world does not know my paraprakriti. Why? The whole world is apara prakriti apara prakriti which is my own inferior lower nature I am para prakriti which the world does not know my para prakriti what it means he says why there is samsaraha why there is samsaraha what is samsaraha See, this we explained in my previous classes differently. There is, completely you're going to understand correctly here, there is absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Which means it is always our time-wise limitless, which is ever all-pervasive, spatially limitless. See, there is reality which is of the nature of timelessness, which is of the nature of, which is spatially limitless, which is object-wise limitless. For being free from these threefold limitations, this reality is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma. And the same reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, thereby obtains as an innermost essence of every being. And the same reality is implied by the word Atma also. And this reality is endowed with the power, Shaktihi. The power is implied, the power is known by the term Maya. The power is known by the term Maya. So, Brahma Shaktihi, Brahma Shaktihi, Atma Shaktihi, Atma, Atma Shaktihi, Brahman, Brahma Shaktihi, Chit, Chit Shaktihi. And that what is that reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Atma and Brahma, we say that reality, we understand, arrive at it as the Swarupam of the knower, I. Shastra makes it very clear, there is no way of arriving at the reality. The reality has to be arrived at only as the truth of I, the knower. So you arrive at it, you understand that reality is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, if the reality is pure consciousness, and the power of reality, your jnanam is the word used to mean reality. So jnanam is reality, jnana shaktihi or chit shaktihi. And here, this power implied, known by the term Maya, is of the nature of inertness. The power does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, we say the power which does not have independent existence of its own is mithya. So, Maya is mithya, the power of the reality, known by the term Maya, is mithya. Why? Because it does not have independent existence of its own. Whereas the reality, the consciousness, has independent existence, therefore it is satyam. So reality, the consciousness is satyam. The power of reality, known by the term Maya, is mithya. So which is independent and which is dependent? Consciousness is satyam and the power is mithya. Why? Power has no independent existence. So you can say consciousness and matter. We can otherwise say, you can call it power also matter. The power is matter, consciousness is the reality here. His consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. And this Maya is of the nature of undergoing changes. The power is the nature of undergoing changes. Consciousness and this power are inseparable. Vagrathav samprakto, inseparable, inseparably united like the word and its meaning. Vagartho yuva samprakto. Consciousness and its power are inseparably united like the word and its meaning. But they are of two different natures. Consciousness is, the reality is of the nature of consciousness, which is of the nature of changelessness, whereas matter is of the nature of undergoing changes. And we say, he said, it is this Maya undergoes a change and there is the manifestation of this universe. This universe becomes unmanifest, there is Maya. So Maya manifests this universe. The universe becomes unmanifest is Maya. Maya undergoes a change, there is Jagat. Jagat becomes unmanifest, there is Maya. Maya undergoes a change, there is universe. And the universe becomes unmanifest, there is Maya. Which means, the universe is unmanifest, it is Maya. Maya becomes manifest is this universe. I'm repeating it. Which means Maya is the material cause and which Maya undergoes a change, there is universe. And the universe becomes unmanifest, again there is Maya. Whether the universe is manifest or it is unmanifest, the universe is manifest or it is unmanifest, it does not have existence outside of the reality implied by the term Brahman. Unmanifest also, unmanifest, otherwise called Maya, does not have existence independently outside of the reality. The manifest universe also does not have existence outside of the reality. So what is the adhishtanam? What is the adharaha for this Maya or for the manifest universe? Is the reality implied by the term Brahman. Let me give you an example here. This is not a new example for my people who have been listening to me. If there is water, the water is pond full of water and you see the stillness of water. The water is still. You see the water, there is stillness of water. We are seeing two factors here. Stillness of the water and the water. We are seeing stillness of water and the water. In fact, it is not right on my part to use the expression and. You know why? If I want to use the word, if I have to use the word and, there must be two different independent things. I can say here are two things. One is mic, one is a recorder. one can exist independent of the other, then only I can use expression and. When I say water is, and this, the stillness of water is, I'm using, for want of expression, I'm using. But really speaking, there can't be something called stillness of the water independently without the water. But I do have to talk about two factors here because I'm experiencing stillness. There is stillness and there is water. Isn't it? Stillness of the water. Now, what is the distance between water and its stillness? There is no distance. But is there stillness? Yes. There is stillness, there is water, but there is no distance between stillness and water. They are not two different things. The stillness cannot be counted as something. Second parallel reality. If you ask you what is there, you can say water is, the stillness of water is. Now I tell you, of these two, water is satyam. With reference to this water, water is satyam. Stillness of water is mithya. Why it is mithya? Still, there's something called stillness cannot exist at all independently without the water. But the water can be without being still. So water and its stillness are inseparable. We have to say, talk about stillness definitely because it is there. The water is not absolute, the stillness is not absolutely real, nor is it unreal. Why? Because stillness is, therefore it is not unreal. Stillness is not absolutely real because it doesn't have independent existence. Stillness is as though real, because it is there. But it doesn't have independent existence. Therefore we say the stillness is mithya, the water is satyam. Okay. Now I say the water is of the nature of changelessness. The water swarupam, H2O, doesn't undergo any change. Water is H2O. But the stillness is of the nature of undergoing changes. See, water and stillness are inseparable, but water is of the nature of changelessness. The swarupam doesn't undergo any change. But the stillness is of the nature of undergoing changes. Stillness can be disturbed. I take a big stone and throw it into the pond, the stillness is disturbed. The stillness is disturbed, what happens? Then there comes, still undergoes change. I can say many waves come, ripples come. Many waves and ripples. And because of waves, noise also comes. Now I tell you, what are these waves? Waves are forms, isn't it? And these waves are not created newly. Where were these waves? The waves were already unmanifest. When the waves were unmanifest, there was stillness. And the stillness undergoes a change, there comes waveforms. So stillness by itself, stillness cannot exist independently by itself without the water. The stillness alone undergoes a change, thereby becomes waves. Stillness undergoes changes and becomes waves. Waves resolve after some time. Waves again resolve. Again stillness comes. Okay? The waves become unmanifest, resolve. There is stillness. Stillness undergoes a change. Then there are waves. Waves and ripples. And can the stillness by itself become the waves without the water? See, waves alone get disturbed, become the waves. The stillness alone become the waves. But stillness by itself cannot become the waves. What should be there? Water must be there, isn't it? So when the stillness is there as stillness, it doesn't exist outside of the water, independent of the water. The stillness undergoes a change, obtains in the form of waves. Again, waves also do not have existence outside of the water. Stillness is water, waves are also water. But now I can say, the stillness is like the material cause. Like, not accurate example, stillness is like the material cause of the waves. In a way, the stillness undergoes a change, only then you have waves. The waves undergo change, again there is stillness. Without waves, they are still undergoing changes, there cannot be waves. When there are waves, stillness is not there. You can't find stillness when there are waves. No stillness at all, only waves you see. And the waves are there, stillness is not there. When the waves resolve, stillness is, waves are not there. Therefore we say what? For the waves to be there, stillness must undergo change. And for stillness to be there, waves must resolve. They can't, simultaneously you can't have waves and the stillness. Is it clear? They can't be stillness and waves simultaneously. If when there are waves, there cannot be stillness. When there is stillness, there cannot be waves. Therefore, waves, stillness is like the material cause of the waves. But without the water, there cannot be stillness, means there cannot be waves also without the water. Is it clear now? So, whether just as water is the substratum, and when the stillness undergoes changes, water does undergo any change. Water continues to retain its swarupam as H2O. Water is the water. So water is the adhishtanam for the stillness. Same way, the same water is the adhishtanam, adhara, for the waves also. So we say waves are not newly created. When the wave forms are unmanifest, there is stillness. When the stillness undergoes a change, there are waves. And there is one unchanging adhishtanam, which is water, which is satyam. And this stillness also is mithya. Waves also is mithya. The karanam is mithya. Karyam also is mithya. Stillness, the cause, is mithya. Waves, the effects, are also mithya. For both we have the adhishtanam is satyam. Today I want to say something seriously. Okay. Is it clear? Adhishtanam is unchanging. changeless. Similarly here, there is consciousness implied with the term Brahma, and which there is a power of consciousness which is inseparable, just as stillness is inseparable from the water. I am giving the grossest example to understand much subtlest factor. So the power of consciousness known by the term Maya, power of consciousness known by the term Maya undergoes a change, that is Jagat. Jagat resolves, there is Maya. Whether when the universe is unmanifest, it is called Maya. When the universe is manifest, Maya is manifest, it is Jagat. Universe unmanifest is Maya. Maya undergoes a change, that is universe. Just as stillness, for the stillness and the waves, water is the adhishtanam. For Maya and Jagat. So unmanifest universe called Maya, and the manifest universe called Jagat, adhishtanam is same Brahman, the pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Is it clear? Which means the universe unmanifest or manifest. Waves resolved or waves do not have existence outside of the water. So the universe manifest or unmanifest doesn't have existence outside of the reality. Okay. Now I'll tell you, what does the word manifestation mean? What do we, when you say universe is manifest, universe is unmanifest, what does it mean? And Vedanta is very clear in stating this. In Vedanta, it's a timeless fact that nothing is been created, nothing is destroyed. It took ages for scientists to come out with this fact. Nothing has been created, nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. There is no creation at all. There is only manifestation. When the unmanifest becomes manifest, it is called creation. When the manifest becomes unmanifest, it is called dissolution. And it is something constantly happening. Why it is happening? That is the nature of the power of the reality. Why there is constantly manifestation and why there is unmanifest? Why the whole universe become unmanifest? Why can't there be all the time universe, manifest universe? Why should the universe become unmanifest at all? That is the nature of the power of the reality. Power of the reality is of the nature of undergoing changes. Therefore, there is manifestation and there is, universe becomes unmanifest. So therefore, manifestation means there is no creation. So when do we say the universe is manifest? When do we say the universe is unmanifest? When the universe is available for interaction, available for objectification, available for perception, available for enjoyment, available for use, then you can say universe is manifest. The same universe is not available for experience, enjoyment. It is unmanifest. When the universe is manifest, it is useful. When it is unmanifest, it is as good as non-existent. The universe is unmanifest, it is as good as non-existent. When the universe is manifest, it enjoys existence, enjoys the status of being existent. So when does the universe become manifest? When does it become unmanifest? So anyway, the universe is nothing but matter. The entire objective universe is matter. It is of the nature of inertness. It does not have the capacity to reveal its existence by itself. The universe enjoys the status of being existent only when it becomes known. When it is known. It has become the known. When it is not known, the universe is as good as non-existent. So for the universe to become, to enjoy the status of being existent, it has to become known. For it to become known, for it to shine, it should become known. The universe should shine. Then it is known. It enjoys existence. For it to shine, it should become known. For the world to become known, there must be knowledge that the world is. For the knowledge that the world is to be there, there must be the knower. Before that, there must be the knowledge I am. Isn't it? If there is no knowledge of the existence of one's own self in terms of I am, there cannot be the knowledge of the existence of the world that the world is. Isn't it? You cannot have the knowledge of the world if you do not know you are there, first of all. There must be knowledge of the existence of one's own self in terms of I am. For knowledge of the world, existence of the world, in terms of the world is to be there. So when there is knowledge I am, then there is knowledge the world is. So this knowledge I am, understand this at the individual level, understand the total level. When this knowledge I am obtaining in the form of a thought is, only then there is knowledge or the existence of the world in terms of the world is. When this knowledge is, we call it what? Waking state of the mind. When this knowledge is, it is the waking state of the mind. And when this knowledge is not there, we call it what? Ignorance. There is ignorance. Total ignorance. When this knowledge, I am, is not, obtaining in the form of thought is not there, there cannot be the knowledge the world is also. When this knowledge is not there, there is total ignorance. When there is ignorance, it is a deep sleep state of the mind. So when there is knowledge, the world shines. When there is ignorance, the world does not shine. Isn't it? So in waking, the world enjoys its existence. In deep sleep state, the world loses its status of being existent. The world exists, but it loses its status of being existent in sleep. In waking, it enjoys its status of being existent. Which means the world is not created when you are fast asleep. It is not destroyed. When you wake up, the world is not created newly. The world is already. Only thing is, the world remains unknown in deep sleep state. Therefore, it loses its status of being existent. The world becomes known in the waking. Therefore, the world shines. The world enjoys the status of being the existent. Isn't it? So what is this knowledge and what is this ignorance? When there is knowledge, the world shines. When there is ignorance, the world does not shine. So the existence of the world presupposes the existence of the knowledge. If there is knowledge, the world shines. If there is knowledge is not there, the world does not shine. So existence of the world presupposes the knowledge. What is this knowledge? The knowledge I am, the knowledge the world is, are two cognitions obtaining in the form of thoughts. When his thoughts rise, when there is knowledge, the world is. When the thoughts resolve, there is no knowledge, then the world is as good as non-existent for the one who is asleep. Is it clear? Now let me tell you. Next step. So you want to do first in the morning. Because I'm thinking of all people who were already who heard me so much of these things. As a new people, that's why I'm struggling to make it to not struggle for me, but I feel I had to dilute too much. In a dark room, even in this hall when we came first, everything was dark here. All the opaque things here, the chairs and tables and the carpet and everything here, everything is kept in darkness. Everything, all the things were there, but we could not locate which was where. Everything was covered in darkness. So the things which are kept in darkness, even though they were there, they do not serve any purpose. We cannot use them. And we do not even know the things were there. Why? Even though the chairs were all here, when all of them were covered in darkness, they were not visible, available for seeing. Therefore, they were as good as non-existent. We could not use them. So all the opaque things, when they're covered in darkness, they're as good as non-existent. And you turn the light on, and you know which is where. Where is chair, where are mics, where are people sitting, where are the walls, where are the curtains, everything is seen. They're available for use. Now I tell you, when the light comes, when all the objects shine. So existence of light is the existence of the opaque things. So opaque things, for them to shine, to become known, to become useful, to be available for enjoyment, you know, to have status of being existent, they dependent on the existence of the light. Okay, what does the light do? Light does not do any action by its mere presence. Just light is, by its mere nature of illumining, light lends existence to all the opaque things. Does light create opaque things? Light does not create the opaque things. Light does not create the opaque things. That is what I'm saying. Light does not create the opaque things. Light is opaque things shine and they are useful. When the light is switched, turned off, opaque things become again covered in darkness. They are not useful. So light does not create the opaque things. When the light is, opaque things shine. When the light goes, opaque things become covered in darkness. So light does not create opaque things, nor do the things get destroyed in darkness. Only things that are available for enjoyment in a given time, they're not available for enjoyment in a given time, another time. Similarly, it is entire objective universe also. Elements and the elementals and the forms, the actions, the laws and everything here, the whole Jagat also, nothing is created here. It's available for enjoyment, available for interaction when there is light of knowledge. Is it? Knowledge is likened to light here. When there is light of knowledge, the world shines. The world is manifest. When this light of knowledge is not there, we call it ignorance. When the vritti is resolved, there is no knowledge, the world again becomes what? Covered in darkness of ignorance. And they're as good as, the world is as good as non-existent. Just as light does not create the opaque things which shine in the light, knowledge does not create the world. Nothing, knowledge does not create anything here. When this manifestation of knowledge, when the vrittis rise, this knowledge, there is world shines. And now let me tell you, what is this knowledge I am? The knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is, and this knowledge is called vritti jnanam. It's called manifest knowledge. Vritti jnanam, manifest knowledge. When there is manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts, then the world shines. World shines means when there is manifestation of knowledge in the form of thoughts, the sense powers are functional, the powers of organs of actions are functional, mind is functional, then there is perception of the world shines. When thoughts resolve, the manifest knowledge, when thoughts resolve, when there is no manifestation of knowledge in the form of thoughts, thoughts resolve, there is ignorance, then the sense powers become non-functional, all the powers become non-functional, powers are present non-functional, then the world again becomes as good as non-existent. World doesn't shine. The world is not destroyed when the knowledge resolves. The manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts resolve, the world is not destroyed, but the world is as though destroyed. When the thoughts rise, manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts rise, the world is as though created. Is it clear now? Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. Hope you're all with me. Are you all okay? Do you feel sleepy?
No.
It is not a new lesson for many of the people, but still something I have to tell you here. Okay, I can complete all the verses if I explain these ones. Verses are very simple. I tell you, the knowledge manifest. See, the knowledge I am, knowledge the world is, say we call it manifest knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts, means it's called vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam. The vritti is rise, manifestation of knowledge, the vritti is resolve. Vrittis rise, vrittis resolve. Thoughts rise, thoughts resolve. So knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought is called vritti jnanam. And these thoughts rise and resolve. The thoughts rise, the world shines. Thoughts resolve, the world resolve. World becomes unmanifest. When this knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts are not there, we say what? Ignorance is. Isn't it? So it can ignorance and knowledge coexist? No. Knowledge and ignorance cannot coexist. No, why? Because knowledge and ignorance are opposed to each other. Isn't it? Knowledge and ignorance are opposed to each other. When there is knowledge, there is no ignorance. When there is ignorance, there is no knowledge. They can't coexist. They cannot coexist. Just as stillness and waves cannot coexist. Stillness has to undergo change for the waves to be there. Waves has to resolve for the stillness to be there. Similarly, ignorance has to undergo change. Understand? For the knowledge to manifest. And manifest, okay? Thoughts had resolve for still ignorance to be there. Now I tell you, this ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Ignorance is that which is opposed to jnanam, knowledge. But now I tell you, where does the ignorance obtain? Where does this ignorance exist? And where does this knowledge exist? When there is knowledge, there is no ignorance. Why? Knowledge is. The knowledge I am is. Knowledge the world is. When this knowledge is, the world shines. I am, the knower is, the known is. I the knower am, the known world also is here. But when the knowledge I am, obtaining them of thought resolves, then there is no knowledge the world is also is not there, then there is ignorance. In deep sleep state, you do not know you are, you do not know the world is. There is ignorance, isn't it? But ignorance is known or not? Ignorance is known to you or not? Ignorance is known to you. You cannot talk about ignorance when you know the ignorance. But on waking up from sleep, you can talk about ignorance. Yes, I did not know anything. Which means, ignorance is a state of mind, which is a state of experience. Isn't it? That's also a state of experience, an object of knowledge. The knowledge also is what? A state of mind, which is an object of knowledge. Waking state is an object of knowledge. Deep sleep state is also an object of knowledge. Why? Because these two states of experience, states of mind, are also objects of knowledge. How do you know? Because you know you are, you also know that you did not know you were. Isn't it? What does it mean? Ignorance also is known to you. Knowledge also is known to you means there is a knower distinct from the knowledge and ignorance. Is it clear? There is a knower distinct from knowledge and ignorance. There is a knower, when there is ignorance, ignorance is known. There is a knower of ignorance, there is a knower of knowledge. That knower of knowledge and ignorance is what? Distinct from the known knowledge, known ignorance. And that knower is the pure knowledge. Why does it know? Why it is called reality? That knower is the reality. The one who knows the ignorance, that which knows the dark knowledge, is the knower. That knower is the reality. And why does the reality know? Because knowing is its nature. Therefore, reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, what? It is chit chaitanyam. And that knower is, know, distinct from the known knowledge and ignorance. And that knowledge is what? The source of the knowledge. So you can say, where do these thoughts, the knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts, vritti jnanam, vrittis, where do they rise from? Where do they exist? And where do they resolve? In this pure knowledge. To distinguish that knower from the known, I say the pure knowledge. The knower of the thoughts is pure knowledge. The known is what? Manifest knowledge. The known knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts is vritti jnanam, manifest knowledge. And the knower of the knowledge is what? Pure knowledge. Is it clear now? The knower of ignorance, the knower of knowledge is the reality which is pure knowledge. Just to there's no pure or impure knowledge. Just to distinguish it, I'm saying, to distinguish it from that. Is it clear now? Which means, when there is knowledge, the world shines. When there is no knowledge, the world does not shine. And there's no manifestation of knowledge. So the knowledge is manifest in the form of thoughts, the world shines. When the knowledge is not manifest in the form of thoughts, knowledge remains as pure knowledge, the world does not shine. Is it clear? Where the world shines, it does not shine. When it shines, we call it manifest universe. It doesn't shine, we call it unmanifest universe. Whether it shines, it does not shine. Where does the world exist? It does not exist outside of the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. And you are that pure knowledge. Is it clear or not? Okay. And we say that when this knowledge I am obtaining in the form of a thought is not there, when this knowledge the world is obtaining in the form of thought is not there, we say what is there is ignorance. And the ignorance is what? Total ignorance is called avidya. What is called? Avidya. It's a state of mind, isn't it? And that understand that avidya, what you understand as avidya at the individual level is otherwise called maya at the total level. If you understand avidya, you understand maya. Maya can never be understood. Because maya, is it clear? What is known as avidya at the individual level, at the total level is called what? Maya. Now you know one thing, what is it? Universe is not created, is not destroyed. There is manifestation, the universe becomes unmanifest. Why it becomes unmanifest and manifest? Because of the power of the reality. The power of the reality. The power of the reality means the power of consciousness. That is the power of the consciousness. So consciousness does not undergo any change. But ended with the power. Okay. Because of this manifestation. And there's also what? Consciousness in the form of thoughts also becomes unmanifest. When this manifestation of knowledge or consciousness in the form of thoughts, the world shines. When there's no manifestation of thoughts, then only what? There's a pure knowledge when the world does not shine. Is it clear? Nothing is created. Now I tell you next, one more thing. See, when there's water, the stillness of water, is the waves rise. Okay? Stillness undergoes change and waves rise. Waves resolve, there is water. Isn't it? Waves resolve, there is water. Where do the waves rise from? From the water. And where do the waves exist? In the water. And where do the waves resolve? In the water. When the waves resolve, what is there? Water. Similarly, when the thoughts, knowledge rises in the form of thoughts, there is world. When the thoughts resolve, the world also resolves, becomes unmanifest. When the waves rise, water is. When the waves resolve, what is there? Water. When the thoughts rise, what is there? Consciousness. Manifestation of consciousness. When the thoughts resolve, what is there? Pure consciousness. Okay. Pure consciousness. Waves rise. Waves are nothing but water. Water in the form of waves. Water alone is in the form of waves. Waves resolve, there is pure water. Is it clear? Waves resolve, pure water. Waves rise, water is in the form of waves. Waves resolve, there is pure water. Is it clear? Similarly, when this manifestation of knowledge in the form of thoughts, thoughts are nothing but manifestation of consciousness. When the thoughts resolve, there is only pure consciousness. Is it clear? When the thoughts resolve, when there is pure consciousness, there is nowhere no knowledge division is not there. The world is not available. There is non-dual experience. Not non-dual knowledge, experience. Okay? World is not created, world is not destroyed. World is unmanifest. When the thoughts rise, thoughts means what? Now manifestation of knowledge is what? We said when thoughts rise, this manifestation of knowledge, there is the world. World shines. Thoughts resolve, world becomes unmanifest. Thoughts rise, the world shines. When the world shines, there is knowledge. Knowledge manifest is the world. Understand? When the thoughts resolve, there is pure knowledge. World is unmanifest. There is no ignorance. Where is the ignorance now? Where is the ignorance? Have you got it? There is no ignorance. There is no ignorance. Do you see this? Therefore, there is no Maya. Understand? I can't make you see there's no Maya. As though. That is where we say, what is there's only Satyam. Brahma. That's why that initially the power of reality. It is the power of reality. Like becomes manifest, which is knowledge. Like reality manifest is, the power of reality manifest is what? Manifestation of knowledge. The whole world shines. The power of reality resolves, then there's pure knowledge. The world becomes unmanifest. The world is not created, nor is destroyed. Therefore, ya ma sa maya, that which is not is maya. But we do use in the beginning. Okay, something very important lesson. and we'll, you have tea and come back, I'll continue.